Okay, we're on Lamehema Beis. We'll just review from the Mishnah out loud. So it said that if you're going ahead and you're eating barley, so you go ahead and you peel it off one at a time. And if you gather it in your hand, then you'd be chayev. Person.
It's like their garinim.
Kind of like garinim. I was eating pistachio nuts today, and I couldn't help but think of this Mishnah. I was like, am I allowed to crack open more than one at a time, or do I have to crack it, eat it, and crack it, and eat it? I was like, this is going to make me so obsessive compulsive.
Okay.
I know what's going to happen. But when it comes to wheat, you can do a little bit more, it seems. Moila melilos. How do we?
Because it's so small.
Because it's easier to do, apparently, I've found. We're going to see in a second. The Gemara's going to ask, what's the difference between one and the other? We'll wait for the Gemara. At the time we learned the Mishnah, I hadn't learned the Gemara yet, so I came up with the Mefarshim that they explained that one's easier to crack open than the other, so therefore it's... Anyway, and then it says when you're blowing the chaff off your palm of your hand, you have the over there with cracked open, you just blow it from one side. Anyway, then you could eat it, but if you go ahead and you put it in your lap, then that's already too much. It's too much. Now, Reb Ze'era went ahead and he said he could do two at a time, meaning he could do two barleys, I think, at a time. He didn't have to do it separately. He could do two with one hand, I guess.
So we went back to the Mishnah.
And then it says that with...
35b4.
With the Braisa said that when it came to barley, two is potter, three is chayiv. By wheat, three is potter, four is chayiv. We explained that the Braisa was talking about someone like Reb Ze'ira. Not like a regular normal person, which the Mishnah was talking about, where it said that the share for barley was one, not, it says over here, two. So that's how we were miyashiv that stira. Okay, now we'll start, this is where we left off, with that introductory remark. Huno bar chinana v'rab taklifa bar imi. So you have these two people, Huna bar Chinana, and Rav Tachlifa bar Imi.
Where?
Yeah. We're on 35b4.
Four lines up.
Oh, you're still on b4.
I'm Rabbi Yonah.
Four lines
up. So the Gemara inserts a comment. In Kulhen bar Imi means one of these people that we said it was Rav Tachlifa bar Imi. So there's a discussion here. So if everyone in Shas, wherever we mention Rav Tachlifa, without any parent name, if it means if it's normally Bar Imi, then Rav Tachlifa what does this mean? If all the Rav Tachlifas throughout Talmud are Bar Imi, then we must say the Rav Tachlifa in this incident is not the common Rav Tachlifa?
Yeah, because...
Why?
You have to keep going.
I got to keep going, right? Hahan Bar Rav Imi. This one is Rav Imi, and all the other ones in Shas are Imi without the Rav. Okay?
Maybe. You keep going.
If. But in Kulhan Bar Rav Imi, and if all the other ones in the Talmud are Rav Imi, then this one is the common one. Whatever. Whoever it was. Let's go on to 36a. I'm not really interested.
It's unusual to see something like this.
It's like, who cares? I don't care. We're not going to know who it is regardless. This is 2,000 years later. This is one Rav Tachlifa. You know where he lived? You know what he looked like? What is this preoccupation with whether it's the same person or not the same person?
Say it over,
was so important so many years later.
Maybe we'll all.
Sure.
And now we're Masupik. So sure. If you're Masupik who it was, so how does that work? Let me ask you this, Shiloh. Let's suppose you know you heard a Shtickel Torah either from Chopsy or from, I don't know, from Dolph, right? So I'm not sure. I'm in Mokhif to say this might be Shamsi's and it might be Dov's.
If it made sense, it wasn't Dov.
So if it made sense. So. Okay.
Shamsi.
This is the day of that we're nohig kavod zeh v'zeh. Finally, you know, at the end of the shaloi nagu tonight. Rav Asher Weiss said that the 32nd Mida was Oyevas Havrios, you know, like this. Today's the Oyevas Havrios day. Earlier today, 32nd day.
Yeah.
Okay, but listen, none of us.
Today's 33.
Not everybody knows that Vart from Rav Asher Weiss. And also, we're up to 33, like you're saying. We're beyond Oyevas Havrios. It's time to move on, right? Okay.
You should already have that down pat.
I should have.
Okay, yell at a couple of people.
Havule.
Who's on the...
We've got Tzvi Shira online.
He was going to say something.
Tzvi, did you have something to say? I'm sorry if I interrupted you.
No, I'm good.
He says he's good. Havilei ad kishrei itzva asei. Anyway, the kernels which Rav Lazar was sifting were not in his palm. They were in the upper part of his hand. Havin sovin minei. Now, I'm going to read it to you the way you have it in English first, but I'm going to tell you that the Rosh Cirillo has a completely different way to read this Gemara. And I like his way much better. This way, we have it at the top of the English, is very, very strange. Havasavmine, they wanted to take the kernels from him to see how he was sifting them. In other words, this fellow, Talmud Chacham, he's doing this like in a nifty way. Let's learn the trick. What's his trick? How is he doing this trick? V'havapach l'koislan, he turned towards the wall so they shouldn't see how he does it. It's like, you know, it's a secret. It's like, really? V'chave loin m'loi shialon. And afterwards, he showed them a full measure of kernels. Like it was a magic trick, you know. Ta-da! Here's the magic kernels. This is ridiculous. This shot doesn't hold water to me. In my mind, this is not it. It just isn't it. So Rav Cirillo has a much easier mahalach in the Gemara. He has it.
He says it in number 2.
Listen. Let me just read Rav Cirillo the way I want to say it, okay?
Okay.
In the Hebrew. So it says here on the bottom of the base, Vahavyanle, not Vahavyanle. They told him. They were upset.
Where are you?
I'm looking at the bottom, Rav Cirillo on Lamed Hay on the base.
Which? First column or second
column? It's the last one. It's the last line. It can't be the first one.
Chavyanle.
No, the previous album.
Are you on Lamed Hay on the base?
Previous album.
That might help.
Good.
That might help if you go on the right page.
Okay. I didn't realize we were going
back. Good.
Problem with
that. Chavyanle. You know the Rav Lazar. They told Rav Lazar. They were upset with him. Right. Next page. Ad kishrei etzvasei, demenafnei masisim d'shori loy temod chol hayad. Eladavka ad soif kishrei ha'etzvais menapa hu dahava arai. Ava b'kaf yorai kevahava v'higidu loy lamar sh'yagid lahem mahoi b'datai. So they were upset at him. What? It says in the Mishnah, it doesn't mean you could use your whole hand. It's only ad kishrei etzvais. You can only use the top part of your hand, the finger area. But not the palm area. The palm area already would be considered keva. And I have a sub in mine. And what Rav Huna, it says they were older than him. Rav Huna, Bar Chinna, and Rav Chachlifa were zikenim yosem Rabbi Eliezer. They were older than he was. V'hafach apai, look, Rabbi Eliezer l'kaisel. He turned his face to the wall to show he was upset with them. Like we always see him throughout the Talmud. It says over here, because he was angry at them. He didn't want to accept what they were saying. He turned his face, Rav Yosef turns his face away when he's upset with what's being said to him, right? Well, he's arguing at them. They're saying you can only use your fingers. He's saying, no, the Mishnah says for Farish that the only thing that's also is to put it in your lap. But to put it in your palm of your hand is no problem. So we're having an argument here in the Mishnah. This is not a magic trick. Oh, let's see how he's doing it. And he turns away so to hide from them. That doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't have a ring of, you know, that doesn't sound right. It sounds very weird. So this way, it's a machlokes. They're having an argument in how to learn the Mishnah, right? So that's what his pshat is. The Toni K, let's go on right to the Gemara. that you can't use, you can't sift that through a funnel or a platter. This is price linear Shabbos on Kugregus. On Shabbos, this year would be a Kugregus to be higher for Lush, for Dosh, right? But the Brisa forbids eating the kernels only when sifted with the aid of these vessels, implying that if you're sifting it by hand, even a large quantity of kernels can be sifted and eaten without the need for timing. In other words, it's only when you do a large amount, right? Now, the Gemara is going to try to figure out what's going on over here. Rav Chiya bar Ada ba'ol kumi Rav Mana. Hocha at Amar b'sa'irim shnayim shpater shalosh chayiv. Here, by the barley, you're saying two is pater, three is chayiv. V'ka at Amar hachein. And here, regarding the wheat kernels, the way he's learning the kasha is, he's asking a kasha from the wheat kernels. You say, if a large amount is allowed, why is it forbidden to shell more than two barleys? When it comes to the wheat, you allow a lot more. Your question, Shasi, right? So he answers, on Malay, shan yehi hocha. It's different here when it comes to the wheat kernels. Why? Shehu machzer es hamoyser. We're dealing a case where you can return the surplus, meaning you're near the granary. So if you're near the granary, so you have the ability to, whatever you don't eat, to throw it back into the rest of it.
You can't do that with barley.
So hold on a second. So what he's essentially saying here, and you look in the footnote, you'll see that. We'll just do a couple more lines because I want to get you to nine. The Tony Kane, there's a brisa that supports this answer. Medvar, when is this true that you can't eat two kernels of shell barley? Bisman shein osamach legaron. That's if you're not next to the granary. Avlam hayu samach legaron. Afil yosim mikan mutter. Even more than that is mutter. Neishu maser as hamaser. That's talking about barley, right? So you see what? There's no difference between barley and wheat. The difference is whether you're near the granary or not. That's what it says over here in 9. It emerges from this explanation that the Gemara makes no distinction between shelling and sifting. Rather, the ruling about barley refers to one who's distant from the granary. And the one about the wheat is he's closer to the granary. But there's really no difference between wheat and barley. It's very difficult to say that. I mean, you know. We said in the Mishnah, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now all of a sudden we're saying it's all the same. It depends if you're close to the granary or not close to the granary. It's a little strange what's going on over here in the Gemara. The Gemara seems to be backtracking from the pashtus of what we've been saying all along, right? Now, yeah, the Gemara has a different mahalak. Well, I'm not going to go into it right now. This is, you know, ayin sham to see a difference in how to learn this Gemara. It's not so clear what the difference here is.
Is this the end of the...
That's the end of the Gemara.
Oh.
Now we're going to start the Mishnah. Okay? Ready to start for Halacha Daled? Does anybody have any questions? Do you have any questions? I mean, it's a little strange.
Yeah,
Gemara.
I do.
Yeah, what's
so
up?
What is the bottom line? Is there a difference between wheat and barley as to whether you're close to the granary or not?
Apparently, if you're close, you could do whatever amount you want.
Doesn't matter which one.
Yeah, as long as you don't put it in your lap.
Yeah.
Then your lap you can't do no matter what, but in your hand you can do as much as you can hold.
Wheat or
barley. That's the way.
But
that's
only if you're close to the granary.
If you're close to the granary.
And what is it about the lap that makes it usher?
It makes it more bakfius.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what it says over here. Now we go to Halakha Daled. Now you have to hold cup over here a little bit, everybody said, because we're going to be talking about foods the next till the end of tonight's year. We're going to be talking about foods that we're not that familiar with. So you have to kind of use your imagination.
Sushi.
You're familiar with sushi. This is coriander, you know, these kind of things.
Spices.
Cress. Dill. You're familiar with these plants? Have you ever seen the way these plants grow in the garden?
Nope.
You've seen
dill in 7 Mile.
Okay, I've seen it also. I've seen cress also.
But I haven't seen the way it grows. You have it in your place? We should come over a field trip tomorrow.
Coriander. Do you know how coriander?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let's go ahead. A lot of these plants have multiple output possible. In other words, there'll be seeds. That might be considered the pre of the fruit, that you're growing them mainly for their seeds, and there may be an edible part of the stalk, which might be edible, or there might be a green part of the plant, which might be edible. But the plant isn't usually used, grown for that, but it's possible for you to actually have a kavana that you are going to grow it for that green part, which will be not the usual way, but that's what you want to grow it for. So this is the kind of stuff you have to keep track of over here.
The common thing we have today is when you grow a squash.
Yeah.
Okay, there's some restaurants that will cut the flower before the stem turns into a zucchini or a squash, and they fry the flower, and the flower becomes edible.
Wow. Okay.
Well, that's the same as
the... Hey, Bhagavad Gita, thank you for joining us. We're just about to start the Mishnah on 36a2. Abe Schwartz has just joined us. He's in a different time zone, so that's why he wasn't necessarily on time, because when you're up by the lake, it's like a different world over there.
It's
camp time. It's camp time, that's right. Kuzbar Shizra Lazara, so if you have coriander, which was planted for its seed, which is, that's the normal main output of that plant. Yarka Potter, so the green part of it would be Potter from Meiser, because that's tuffle to the seed, and it's not, it wouldn't normally necessarily even be eaten, it would be discarded. Now, if you do pick the leaves while they're soft in order to cook and eat them, you're not obligated to tie them. This is because the seeds are the primary edible part of the plant. Its leaves are although they're edible, are not considered significant unless he planted it specifically to consume them. Okay? So that's the yesod we're getting out of here. If you have a plant that has a usual output and there's a byproduct which isn't necessarily usually used, even if you decide to use it, that was not your original intent when you planted it. Therefore, you can pull it off and put it in your pot, and you don't have to take any mice at all. If you planted it with the intent to eat that green part, that will be different. Okay, let's just leave it at that for now. Now, the Mishnah says it before, Zeroy Loyarik, if you planted it, to eat the green part, then you have to take off both the miser for the yarik, and, of course, the main output, which is the seeds, because you're not going, just because you're doing the yarik doesn't mean you're mavatal the din of Zera, right? So it's not Zera Yarik. Rebliazer Oimer Hashavas. Now he's going to change the topic. We're going to talk about a couple of different plants here, which have all these plants have multiple parts to them. That's the thing they have in common. Now, dill, so now he says, in the top of the second column, of the bottom notes, he describes the dill growth. He says there are three... top of the second column on the bottom of 36A2, there are three stages of growth in dill as a vegetable. The unripened plant is harvested to use its greens. B, as young shoots, the plant is harvested for its long stem. And C, as seed, the plant is left growing until the seeds are formed within it. After the plant hardens, it's crushed to release its seeds. It is normal to eat the leaf, the stem, and the seed of a dill plant. And therefore, Rav Eliezer holds, so this is what, let's go back to the Mishnah, Rav Eliezer Oimer Hashavas dill, misasara zera, the yerek, the zirim. These are the three parts that we're talking about in reverse order. The seeds, the greens, and the stems. Okay? So so his shita is all aspects of this dill plant are subject to Meiser. The Chachamim disagree. They hold only part of it that's misaser is the seed part of it. Einu misaser zera v'yerek ela shachalayim hagarga bavad. No species normally has to have seeds and greens unless you are cress and garden rocket. So cress and garden rocket are the exception to the rule, since we're talking about dill here, which is not cress and not garden rocket. So therefore, it is not going to be have misaser all aspects of it. Only the seed. That will be now they're talking about, of course, when you plant it with a stam das. If you planted it with a direct das to have the yerek aspect of the dill to be eaten, then of course they would agree with him that it would be misasa. Okay, well let's just leave it like that for now. Okay.
Wait a minute.
Yes, sir.
He's saying that the stems are the only thing you have to do on the dill.
the stems?
Yeah. Ain't the Mishnah says every Yerek. You don't have to give myself the seeds and greens. Oh, what about the stems? He doesn't mention it.
He doesn't mention anything.
Yeah,
he just says the two exceptions to the rule. I'm talking about Chacham.
Chacham
said that there are only two exceptions that have this rule that you have to take Maaser from multiple parts. And that is cress and garden rocket. Okay, so let's, since we're not talking about those, let's put that on the side.
Right, so you have dill.
Now you have dill.
According to the Chacham,
what are you going to take Maaser from? So let's look at the bottom, because you don't expect
this.
I'm not going to want you to accept what I'm telling you. So let's look at it inside. It says here, the greens of all other species, in the middle of the paragraph, the greens of all other species, including dill, are not subject to Maaser unless you specifically intended to use the greens. Okay? He doesn't speak it out, but it means it's seed. It means seed. They hold seeds are what you're going to take mine. Okay, Zara. Zara is always the main output. Okay? I believe that. I believe what I'm saying is correct. Yeah.
And that's what the next line in the Mishnah says. The exception is these couple of things. It's both the seeds and the greens. As opposed to everything else,
seeds.
Even though sometimes you eat the greens, we don't count that unless you specifically had that in mind.
Correct. Exactly. Otherwise, it's seed only. Now, that's what we're going to learn, okay?
Yeah.
Seed only. That's the way I understood it. Okay, now we're on Rav Beis, 36b. Rav Gamliel Amar. Now we're going to talk about our favorite food, fenugreek. Anybody know what fenugreek looks like? I have no clue.
Yeah.
Fenugreek. So, Rav Gamliel Amar, tomorrow, shall tilson, shall hardel, shall pol halavan, the buds of fenugreek, of mustard, and of white beans. What's buds? What are you talking about over here?
Buds.
Bud Light, right?
Blossoms.
Okay, so what he says is that, let's see what it says over here. His translation of tomorrow says buds is a second shot, and buds are eventually grown to pods containing seeds of a plant. Otherwise, either alternatively, it could be the shoots or tendril-like growths, which are like in the grapevine. Either way, the point of it is at the end of one.
It's not a finished product.
What he says at the end of one, he says that the main idea here is whatever the precise definition of the term, it's talking about an edible part of the plant. That's the main thing you got to have in mind here. It's an edible part of the plant. Who cares what specifically it is, right? So Rabbi Gamliel maintains the next footnote, this part of these plants, meaning the buds, are significant enough to qualify as food, even though they're grown primarily for the seeds, and therefore subject to Maaser. Okay? So let's just leave it alone without going into all the other details, because there's a lot of detail here which can get really confusing. Let's try to keep it simple. So,
in the next life, you may end up being a farmer.
Sorry, excuse me 1 second. Let me shut off the noise here. And also, I need to tell. Just 1 second, please. I have to respond to this text message. Otherwise, someone's going to try to pick me up. See. Just sent him a message. I need to 11:05.
It's okay. Not your neck, right? It's not your neck from the ground. It
depends on whether it's a pot.
Okay, sorry about that. Next. Okay. I need to move a little faster because
no reason.
I have to get going here.
You in a rush?
Yeah, I am in a rush. Now I'm really in a rush. Okay. So now what else? What were we saying? I lost track of what we were saying.
Footnote 2.
What?
No,
Well, no, we're in the Mishnah, right?
Yeah,
Rav Lezer Omer, Hatzlaf, the caper bush. So then, this Aser tomorrow's of Yonis Vekafras. That it has these three aspects: these buds, the berries, and the husks, and they all qualify. Rabbi Kiva Omer, and it's Aser Alev Yonis. The only part of the Tzlaf that's really considered the fruit is the berries. Now, he mentions an interesting svara below, I think it's down here, where he goes into the inyan of the brachos, which is very interesting. Let me just see if I can find it. Where is it? Maybe I'm too early. Maybe it's a little later. It's going to be later, probably. Okay. So, anyway, so we have a machlaikas. This is a vavusta machlaikas, Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Eliezer. We have this in other places, like in Masechta Brachos, where this comes up, of what is considered the fruit of the tzlaf. Okay. Chizkiya Amar. Kiva shalakim imenu shtayim shalosh modayos. Ba machshavas yerek. So what he's saying is, like, the first, going back to coriander, right? So we said the coriander, If it's planted for its seed, then the seed's misaser. If you plant it for the vegetable part of it, then both the seed and the vegetable part are misaser. What he's saying is a very simple thing. If it's nikar mitaych myself, meaning if you go ahead and you plant a few crops and we see one after the other, you keep harvesting the vegetable part of it, so it becomes obvious that that's your intent. So you don't have to. You can start being. You're gonna. That's what he's saying. Once you harvest two or three, the reason why he says two or three is because two, if it's, I think he says it's a week, a weaker one, or three if it's a better one.
Number five on the left thing on the page.
Yeah, the last bottom. He says two or three. Three to a high quality plant. Two is a lesser quality plant that give forth only two harvests in the same time span. Okay, so whatever it is, but the point is, once you harvest it for Baba Machshavas Yerek, once you see you're taking the Yerek, so now we know that that's your intention. Okay? That is to say,
so
six.
So concerned about Marasayin as opposed
to... No, it's not Marasayin. This is his Kavona. That six, although he originally planted it for seeds, by harvesting the greens two or three times, and allowing it to continue to grow, he demonstrates he's cultivating the coriander for its greens. So not only the seeds, but even the greens must be tithed. Okay? So that's why he says that since it's generally planted for the seeds, a machshava alone is not enough. You have to demonstrate this as well. That's basically what he's saying. Now, the second part is afla inyan zarakein, and alternatively, when it comes to the seed part of it as well, once he did not pick the greens, you left the greens intact, attached to the ground, then obviously your intention is for the seed. This part is a little difficult because the Mishnah said that if you plant it for a vegetable, that it's a misaser both zera and yerek. So what do I care if he held back from the green? Holding back from the green, you're going to be chayav in the seed anyway. So what is it saying? If you hold back, it's not the same. In other words, I don't need a machshava or a maisa to be mochiach that I'm planting it for zera. Of course it's planted for zera. In the bottom, he asks the kasha, and that's the answer. Pei Moshe seems to say the answer. If you look at it, it's four wide lines down. You see the Pei Moshe? That means that we equivocate that the zera and the yarek are all can be harvested one on the other. Well, I think what he means to say is, in other words, if I plant something specifically only for seeds, then of course you can't use the yarek for miser because it's min ha'patra al-achiv. But if you planted it originally with in mind, let's say, to use the erek, and then you didn't bother harvesting the erek, you just forgot about the erek, and you did that two or three times, so that you undid it only to the extent that it's not chayev to have maisers taken necessarily. If it's not making sense, is it?
In that year.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't understand his answer. Okay, let's just leave it. Let go. Anybody have shot in the answer? Abe, you know what I'm talking about? Anyway, next. Zerola Zara. If you planted it for seed, misasaras lishoavar. So if you go ahead and you plant it, and you have in mind the seed, so then the seed, this is the rule over here. Let me just remind you. When it comes to vegetables, you go basa lakita, you go basa the time that it's collected. When it comes to trees and fruits of trees, you go basa the chanota, when it first blossoms. So if you had something that blossomed in this, and let's take an example, which we're going to use throughout the Gemara, that we're talking about, it blossomed in the second year of the Shemitah cycle, and it was picked in the third year of the Shemitah cycle. That's Meiser Sheni according to the blossoming, Meiser Oni according to the picking. So which year do you use? So if you planted it, it says Zora Lazara, you planted it for seeds. So then the rule is, no matter when you pick it, even though you may pick it in the third year, it doesn't make a difference, right? It takes the Meiser of the second year, meaning the Meiser Sheni. Zroli Yarek, if you planted it for the vegetable, then Misasar Slava, then you have in mind, you take it, if you plant it, the third year, and it's Maisarani. What if it's both? Zroli Zara Uli Yarek, you want both outputs. Or Zroli Zara Akachishival Yarek, you change your mind, you first want to see, then you change your mind to make it for vegetable as well. So then it's like this. Maisarani Zara Al Yarekha, Umi Yarekha Al Zara. They're both chiyuvim, and the way he explains this one on the bottom is at this point we're saying they both are the previous year. Since the zera is the ikker, so you could use both, one on the other, and they're also, as far as the discussion we were having before, which is which year do you use, which is suspiciously missing from the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't speak it out like it should have. And if you read the sentence, it's missing. Right? What it should have said was, L'sha'avar is what it should have said. But it doesn't say that. It just says, you take one or the other, and one, which is really
still
strange.
Still talking about the coriander?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Yeah. Now, more than that, we're going to qualify it even further. Shalakat mimenu lifnei Rosh Hashanah. So now, we're talking about the seeds were picked before Rosh Hashanah. That is to say, if it grew one third before Rosh Hashanah, and you picked it after Rosh Hashanah, does it make a difference? You can still go bust on the previous year. But Yarkom Misasa Vashasli Kitasa Yisuro, I'm sorry. We're talking about we collected it before Rosh Hashanah. Its seeds are right. I gotta get this right. I didn't say it right. I didn't read it right. Let me read it again one more time. This din that we said that both the Zera and the Yerek are both Lafi Shana Sha'avar. That is talking about where you picked it in the previous year. But if you collected it after Rosh Hashanah, then when it comes to the Zera, then that will be that the Zera will be distinguished from the Yerek in this case. Because the Yerek, what we try to do here is we try to look at it and see, there's two things we're looking at. We're looking at when was it picked and we're looking at when did it grow, when did it take root. So, or it grew one third, whatever you want to say. So if it grew one third and it was picked, so you have Tati Lamal Yusaw, you'll go Basa the year before Rosh Hashanah. If you pick the Yerek after Rosh Hashanah, so then you the seeds will go Basa the previous year, and the Yerek will go Basa the following year. That's what it says. Yarko Masaso Rishas Likitasa Yisurai. Then you go Basa the year in which it was picked.
This is a vegetable, right? This coriander?
It seems to be a hybrid of both a peri and vegetable. When it comes to the zera, we treat it like a pre, and we go back to the chanota, and we'll go back to the previous year. When it comes to the yerek of it, we treat it like a vegetable, and you go back to the lakita. But that's only if you have it in separate years that you're picking it. So then you could have a separate you could break it apart. The zera will become the previous year, and the yerek will be the following year. And that's what it says in the following. And one more qualification. Now we're on 37a. Kishahevi shlish l'tnei Rosh Hashanah, as long as it reached one third of its maturity before Rosh Hashanah. Avlam hevi shlish la'achar Rosh Hashanah, then bein zara, bein yarkom, esasa labo. Then in that case, everything is the following year, because in that case, you're missing the growth. It's Rosh Hashanah, correct? Because the pshat is that you don't have it reaching the Einus Meiser, correct? Before Rosh Hashanah, so therefore it will go basa. Both the Zara and the Yerek in that case will go basa the following year. So that's Lamed Vav as a daf. Let me just shut the.